It was kind of the winter of 1993. It was in between semesters at college. I went to this Christian conference, and there was like thousands of college students there, you know, thousands of college students who want to know Christ, and thousands of college students who want to make a difference for Christ, make a big, huge impact. And so I go to this conference, and yeah, you know, getting all pumped up, and rah, 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 until I realized, okay, well, you know what? There's going to be a day at the end of the week where you're going to get this like clipboard with a little piece of paper on it, and it's going to be like a little script, and you're going to get on a bus, and you're going to go to like these apartment complexes that you've never been before, and you're going to knock on doors and share the gospel with complete utter strangers, okay? And when I found that out, I mean, it's like, man, I want to make a difference for Jesus. We're going to do what? Oh, no, I don't want to do that. That sounds horrible, you know? So the day came. I mean, I think I basically kind of forgot the rest of the conference because I was, like, so nervous of that day. Got on the school bus. We're kind of going, where are we going? I don't even know where. What is this place? And finally, we kind of got to this, apartment complex. I don't remember. It was winter. It's probably cool, so probably not. But if it was during the summer, I probably would have had, like, you know, sweat marks all around my armpits and everything. And I was a brand new Christian. Really didn't, you know, been a Christian not too long. Didn't know anything about, you know, how to, you know, express to somebody else about Jesus, who is Jesus, why Jesus, all of these things. And but they gave us a script. And so I was like, oh, okay. And really nerve-wracking. I was like, man, this is going to be really weird. I mean, you know, I don't really do strangers really well anyways. I don't really feel comfortable in that. And then I feel like they're probably going to think, like, oh, man, look at these people are here with their little clipboard and blah, 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 da, da, da. So all of these things are in my mind, just thinking, oh, it's horrible. Knock on the door, and the guy comes to the door, and at least he had a big smile on his face. So that was like, okay, that's pretty good. So then I start with my little, you know, canned spiel, and he's just still kind of looking at me. And I'm kind of giving my spiel, and then I kind of stopped, and he kind of just kind of nods, and then he kind of stopped, and then he says something in Russian. He doesn't even know English. And so when I found out he is Russian, you know, my first thought was, oh, thank you, Lord, he doesn't speak English. So that was like my first real experience with the E word. And the E word is evangelism. It's a word that after that experience, even when we knocked on different doors and things like that, I did not walk away and get on the door, get in the bus and feel a sense of joy. And that was an incredible experience. I got on the bus going, oh, thank you, it's over. Because it was just so foreign and so weird to me. And it felt so pressured, and it was just not a good experience for me. In fact, some of you may go, man, that's awesome. I love doing that stuff. And that's great. God bless you. We need more of you, you know. But for me, that was not it. I'm sure if I were to tell you that, hey, right now, guys, here's the deal. It's awesome. Right now, a couple of school buses should have just pulled up. We're all going to leave right now. We're going to go to a place that you've never been before. You don't even know where we're taking you. And we're going to give you clipboards with a little skit, and you're going to go share the gospel. I'm sure a lot of you would probably go, no, I'm not. I'm going to my car, and I'm leaving here, you know. So when we think of this word, this E word, this evangelism, it can feel a sense of that it's just like a kind of a negative term, right? With that term, evangelical. And so when we think of evangelism or being evangelical, you may feel a little stressed by it, by being a Christian. We're going to go evangelize. That really stresses me out. Or if you're not a Christian, you may have, you know, heard the word evangelical, but, you know, in the context of watching TV and seeing all these different scandals or seeing the news or whatever, and you're like, I don't want anything to do with that. And so this word evangelism kind of has a negative connotation in our culture. Not just, you know, with people who don't know Christ, it also tends to be a stressor even with Christ followers, me included. There was the longest time where you say, let's go evangelize, and I would just get really stressed out. It took a while for God to kind of reprocess, and I think he's still working in me in a lot of ways to help me to recapture this real, true, beautiful word called evangelism. This word that 2,000 years ago was amazing. It changed the world. It moved people. It changed lives. It brought people together. It brought people together with God forever. There's a beauty to this word that I think we've kind of forgotten over time. And some of the ways that we think about evangelism, or some of the ways that we would say, hey, we are evangelism kind of people, evangelical, but yet people look at us like we're weird or we're mean or we're pushy and things like that. I want us to recapture the beauty of this term and how this word, this phrase really, changed the world. Not for the worse, but for the better. So first of all, the question though is what is evangelism? Maybe you never even heard that term before. You don't even know what that term is. Or maybe you've kind of heard it, but you don't really know exactly what it means. Well, the word evangelism comes from a Greek compound word, euangelion. It's kind of fun. Why don't you say it? Euangelion. Euangelion. And so this is what euangelion means. It's in the Greek. So in the early church, everybody in the Roman Empire spoke Greek. It was just a common language. That's why the New Testament is written in Greek, because everybody could understood Greek. And so this phrase, euangelion, literally means good news. It's two words. So it comes from the word good, which is you, and then angelion, which means news. If you kind of look at these two gammas make a N and G sound, angelion, angelos, angels. So it's kind of what it kind of comes from. You meaning good, angelos meaning, you know, what means good news, or, you know, angelos, angel, means messenger, or it's a good message, okay? So that's kind of what it means. It means good news. It's a good message. So when they spoke of the good news, it was a good message. It was good news. And even the word news comes from the root word new, right? It was new. It was new to the world. The world had been doing the same thing over and over and over and over for each generation, over and over and over, and we've been doing the same thing over and over and over and over, expecting different results, right? That's the definition for what? Insanity, yeah? You maybe have heard that. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, but expecting different results. Every generation. We've tried pleasure, we tried popularity, we tried power, we've tried selfish desires and wants of what I feel like I need, and we just kind of go in circle, and we're unfulfilled, but kind of fulfilled, and since we're kind of fulfilled, and we continue to try to be fulfilled, but never seem to quite get there until Jesus Christ came into our world and sacrificed his life and rose from the dead. Everything changed. There was something new to get us off the wheel, if you will, to get us connected to the guy that we were meant to be connected to understand what we were always meant to understand, and seeing things in the way that God sees them, to live our lives in a way that was meant to live, that actually gives us really better and more nourishment by which we really flourish, by which it gives us better relationships. This is all the good news. 2,000 years ago, it was good and it was new. Sometimes some of the things is that, you know, 2,000 years later, if you grew up in the church and you've heard a lot about, you know, Christianity, and maybe you heard some things in the Bible and things, sometimes the good news becomes good old information by which we just kind of forget about. And so we forget how amazing this news is. This news that there is a God who loves you and loves me, who recognizes our sin, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and he sent his son into this world to die, to sacrifice his life, to take the punishment for us because he loves us. And he rose from the dead so that you and I can live with him forever. That's good news. Money ain't going to do that for you. Position's not going to do that. Relationships aren't going to do that. But Jesus Christ does. That's why it's good. That's why it's good news. And so what I want us to do today is I want us just to, for, you know, our first Sunday out of the gate on this, is just to sit and just kind of soak in, if you will, this good news and how this good news is good for you and how this news is amazing. And because sometimes we forget about it. We get busy, we get distracted and all of these things, and we forget how great our God is. Really is. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a letter that Paul wrote. So we're going to look at Colossians. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, once you flip over to Colossians chapter 1, you can also find these passages on the screen, or Just on that QR code as well, if you're in the house, just right here on in your QR code in front of you, you can find all those message notes as there as well. So what we're going to do is we're just going to spend some time just reflecting that, man, this news is really good. This is some really good stuff. So let's begin. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul writes this letter because, why do we know? Because it says so. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. So he's writing it with Timothy. So we are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae. That's why we call it Colossians, named after the city that was written to, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God, our Father, give you grace and peace. I don't see any negative news in that yet, do you? I don't see any like Debbie Downer, all that sort of stuff. What I see is a person who say, hey, for those of you, God's holy people, faithful and trusting to him, man, I desire for you that our God, our Heavenly Father, would give you grace and peace. And so the first thing for us to understand about this good news is that it's good. It's not bad news. Sometimes we just think that it's bad. So when we talk about sharing our love for Jesus to other people, we almost think of it as a shameful, bad thing. And sometimes we wrap up into believing that because our culture doesn't quite understand how amazing this good news is. We may understand it, but they don't understand. And sometimes they come at us in a way that makes us feel a little bit of shame that, well, maybe it's not really good news. Well, my hope is that you would walk away from here and go, no, it really is really some pretty good stuff. So first of all, the first point I want you to understand about this good news is this. Good news builds trust, inspires love, and gives hope. That's not bad. It's not bad, is it? You know, to build trust, we all desire to live in a relationship of trust. We don't operate really well in a world where we have distrust. But God desires for us to have trust in him and for us to know that we can trust him. That this good news inspires us to love each other well. And even when we don't, we would fight for that love, that we would continue to fight for learning how to love each other well. And we'll find out in this good news is that this good news gives hope. So this is what Paul says about that. He says this in verse 3 through 5. We always pray for you. And I love that, first of all. As Paul says, we're always praying for you. Isn't that good news? Don't you think it would be good news that you have somebody who loves you so much that they're talking to God on your behalf because they care about you? That's what the good news does. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we've heard about your faith in Christ Jesus, that you trust him. You've heard this message, and you're beginning to understand this message, and through that and understand who God is and what God has done for you, you're beginning to trust him, and we're praying for you that God would just keep building that trust, that faith, and we're so excited to hear about your trust in him because that's where life really resides. The fullness of life resides in trusting in this beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. And not only that, but also your love for God's people, okay? Which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. Does anybody think that this sounds really horrible? You know, like, oh man, Tyler, you're just really bringing me down with this, you know, relationship with the God who made me, and you're bringing me down with this whole idea of like really caring and loving for each other. And man, you're really bringing me down for this confident hope that through Christ we are eternal. God has our back. We're good. Man, you're really no. It's good news, and so Paul is basically saying to him, man, I'm so excited. The moment that you heard that there's good news, that there's a God out there who created the heavens and the earth, who is not just somewhere out there. He wants to be connected deeply to you. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and to raise him from the dead in order to give you eternal life. But not just to give you eternal life, but to give you life with him forever. And you guys have responded to that. You've begun to trust that message as you kind of learn it. And through that trusting, you're learning how to love each other as Christ has loved you. And even in your own imperfection, he still loves you. And you're grabbing onto that. And you're loving other people who are imperfect. That's amazing. And I thank God for that. And also that all that's coming out of this hope, this eternal hope that you have in Christ Jesus, that he has your eternity. That's good stuff. It's good stuff. Man, it's amazing. You've had this expectation. ever since you first heard the truth of this good news. And the other thing that we see about, another point about this good news, is this good news is good everywhere. That's what I love about the good news. It's good news everywhere. It's not just good news for you. Sometimes we think, you know, good news has changed my life. God has changed my life. It's amazing, incredible. But you know what? This good news, maybe my neighbors may not need it. My family members may not need it. I know I need it, but other people may not need it. But one of the things about this good news is we find that this good news is good everywhere, all around the world. I'm super excited about just in about a week or so, there's a group here from River Run who are going to go down to Paraiso, and they're going to celebrate the opening of a community center that many of you guys have resourced. Some of you guys have worked on it. That, you know, well, you guys have resourced it through some of the Latin dinners, giving some money towards it, going down the missions and things like that. Some of you have heard about it. But it all started with a man who was born down there who the good news changed his life. Found his way back here to the United States, and as God kind of began to stir his heart and his heart of his wife to go back and have an impact in this good news down in his city that he grew up in, his village that he grew in, Paraiso, Dominican Republic. And through that, through many, many years, prayer, faithfulness in God, people kind of jumping in on the vision, they're going to open up this community center so that this good news can continue to impact other people's lives the way that it impacted this couple, Renee and Sarai Matos. One of the things about that is if you've ever been on a foreign mission down to the Dominican Republic or anywhere else, you find that this good news is good everywhere. It's not just an American idea. I mean, it's good everywhere. You go down to the Dominican Republic and you hang out with some of the pastors down there and what God's doing through some of the good news and some of our brothers and sisters in Christ down there. It's cool. You hang out. It's like, man, you think this is good news? I think this is good news. We got good news together. I spent 5 years in a Vietnamese church, a totally different culture than what I grew up in. But one of the coolest things was that I hung out with people who were just like me. The same good news of this unconditional love for God for me is the same message of love for them. Jesus Christ, who is this Middle Eastern person, you know, that God became this Middle Eastern person who sacrificed his life for this Caucasian American and these Vietnamese friends of mine is really cool. It's good news and it's everywhere. Paul said it like this in verse 6 in Colossians. He says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's not a cultural thing. It's not just a you thing. It's an everybody thing. Some of the times I think that I don't really share, you know, I found myself, you know, where I don't share with other people about Jesus Christ because I think they're probably good. Maybe they found good news in something else. But one of the things that the gospel kind of shows us, the good news about Jesus Christ has shown me, is everybody needs this. Everybody, every culture, we're all the same, okay? So it's going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere. You know, by changing lives, people's lives are changed. It's not just the relationship with God, but the relationship with each other. God is moving and working through some of the demons and the darknesses of the people's lives, some of the things where they're stuck, where there's anxiety and stress, by which God is teaching and giving freedom. It's everywhere. It's going. It's impacting everywhere. You've probably heard me say this, is that the fastest growing place where the good news is taking hold is in Iran. In Iranians. Why? Because they're tasting the unconditional love that all of us need from a God who never changes and who will always love us. That, you know, the oppression of legalism and trying to earn God's favor, earn other people's favor is suffocating. But God, through Jesus Christ, has broke us free of that by which we can kind of breathe in grace of knowing that we're loved is taking hold and changing people's lives in Iran because its good news is everywhere. Even today, 2,000 years ago, it's changing lives just as it changed your lives. From the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. The other thing about good news, when you kind of think about it, is this good news came to you by someone impacted by the good news. Think about it. When I think about my life, the person that impacted me with this good news was a man named John Wise. John was our young life leader of our area, and God used him to change my life, to open up my eyes to see this incredible grace and love of God. I grew up feeling like my life was about needing to be perfect. I needed to be the perfect student, the perfect kid, the perfect athlete, the perfect everything. And those of you who are perfectionists, you know that that is suffocating. It brings anxiousness and fear that you're going to be found out that you can't measure up, or you can't ever be, you know, you can't get there. Or it creates pride in you because you think you're better than ever other people. All sorts of toxicity in this idea of perfectionism. But John taught me that God knows that I'm imperfect, that I'm a sinner. And I totally agree with that. When I look into my own heart, I go, man, you don't get any objections from me in that. But in that, John told me about Jesus Christ, about God's love for me by sending Jesus to die for the forgiveness of my sins, to break me from the bondage of the fear of having to not measuring up. And the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so that way I can have this unconditional love and grace relationship with my God. What, how freeing was that for me? It was incredible for me. But then I think about it. John's telling me this. You know why? Because somebody who was impacted by the good news told John Wise about the good news, because this good news impacted them and they wanted John Wise to experience that. I don't know who that is. But then if you think about it, then somebody told that person, somebody told that person, and somebody told that person, and somebody told that person. It's been going on for 2,000 years. All the way back starting. It's kind of weird to think here in Chuliota. It all starting out in a little upper room, you know, not so little, must have been kind of big, but it had about 120 people in it. By which the Holy Spirit came, and then God basically said, all right, let's go. It's time to go. This world badly, desperately needs good news. There's violence, there's sexual abuse, there's loneliness, there's insecurity, there's fear of the future. All around the globe, go. There's people all around the world who are disconnected from the God who made them. And go and tell them of the reconciliation offered to the world through Jesus Christ to bring humanity back into a relationship with God, by which there is peace, there is hope, there is love, there is wisdom, there is clarity about life. Go tell somebody. And those 120, they were impacted by the gospel. And they went out, and they went out, and they went out, and they went out. And here we are in Chuliota, Florida. Why? Because somebody who was impacted by the good news wanted you and I to know about this amazing news. And I'm so grateful for that, because it has. Everything that Paul said and experienced, I've experienced. It's changed my life. I'm so grateful for that. So Paul said it like this here with Epaphras. You learned about the good news, okay? You people in Colossae, you learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved coworker. He is Christ's faithful servant. He is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So this guy named Epaphras told the Colossians. And they told their family and told their next generation and on and on and on. I don't know who told Epaphras, but somebody told Epaphras about, maybe it was Paul himself, I don't know, you know, about Jesus Christ. And so the cool thing about it is this good news has always been kind of the mantle of, man, this good news is so good. You got to know this good news. Man, that good news is really good news. Man, thank you for sharing me this good news. Yeah, you got to know about this good news. Man, thanks for sharing me about this good news. It's changing my lives. Changing our lives. And so the other thing about good news is that the good news is that you can be wise and your life can change and you can know God. In other words, what I mean by that is sometimes we think good news is just about not going to hell and going to heaven. And so we have a very narrow view of the good news. The good news is, yes, through Christ and faith in Christ, you have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. That's pretty good. But that's only a piece of it. It's only a piece of it. And the other part of good news is deals with, God has always meant for us, not just kind of this waiting thing until we go to heaven. He wants to work in our lives right now by which we can have clarity in our confusion, that our lives can change, that we can move even when we feel stuck, and we can really truly know God, have a relationship with him. Paul said it this way, going on in verse 9 and 10. So, we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will. We want God to really help you to see how amazing he is, okay? In other words, the bad news is that we have this faulty understanding about life. The good news is God's come has come to give you some clarity into the confusion of this world, that you have complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. So God desires for you, the good news is God desires and wants to give you, you know, complete knowledge of his will, spiritual wisdom, and understanding, so you don't be confused. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. In other words, he's saying the good news is God doesn't just want to give you information. He wants to give you information that will transform your life, okay? And so all of this is good news. There's nothing in here that by which God goes, you know what? God wants to keep you in the dark, doesn't really care about you, doesn't really want your life to change, and all of that. No, 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 no. If you look through this passage, you will see that good news is really, really good for you. And so all the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better and better. The good news is also about a changed relationship with God by which we know him better and better. We understand him better and better. And it changes our lives in a way that is a blessing to us. The next thing about the good news is that the good news is that you don't have to live your life in darkness anymore. You don't have to live in isolation, in loneliness, in chaos, in confusion. Paul says this. He goes and he writes, he says, we also pray that you will be strengthened. Does anybody in here want to be strengthened? The good news is that God wants you to be strengthened as well with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. We live in a really hard world. There's no doubt about it. But really the good news is that God desires and will give us, if we will receive it from him, if we learn from him, strength from his glorious power that makes us endure difficult things, that makes us patient and seeing God work in his own way and timing. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. The inheritance, first of all, is eternal life. The inheritance is all the blessings that we have from God, the inheritance of a relationship with him, an inheritance of being indwelled by the Spirit, the inheritance of having complete knowledge of him, the inheritance that he desires to give us that gives us ultimately peace and joy. And he goes on in verse 14, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave us sins. In other words, the good news is God desires for you to be free. The good news is if you open your life to him, he will transfer you from the place of darkness into a place of light, a place of clarity. And not only that, but if there's any kind of funkiness in our relationship with him, he forgives us our sins. Because here's the other thing about good news. The good news is that no matter how far away you are, God is ready to bring you near. That's what I love about our God. The good news is it doesn't matter the darkness that you may be living in. I don't know your story. It could be really, really dark. But I do know the story of Jesus Christ, and I do know the promises of God. And the promises of God is the good news is that no matter how far away you are, God is ready, always ready to bring you near. For Paul says it this way. He says, this includes you. You who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. Yeah, because you did some really dark, messed up stuff. You know, and all of us have when compared to the glories of Jesus Christ. You know, we are separated from him by our evil thoughts and actions. And here's the good news. That's the bad news. That's reality. But here's the good news. Yet now, not us, but God. Him, out of his love for you and I, he has reconciled you to himself. And you say, well, why would he do that? And I'm such a dark person. You don't know all the things I've done, Tyler. I don't, but God does. But then you know what? That's why it's good news. The good news is that God's love is greater than your sin. God's love and his willingness to give up his, you know, to send his son to give up his life for you is so much bigger than your darkness. And God did that to lift you out of the darkness. You know why? Because he loves you. That's good news. Yet to now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result of that, he has brought you, he has, Nothing that you have to earn or try to earn, because none of us can. We didn't bring ourselves to God. God brought us to him, brought us to him. So as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and you are blameless, not because of anything that you have done, but because of everything that Christ has done. So that now you stand before him without a single fault. There's nothing that you've done that can separate you from the love of God. To bring to just the good news is you just step across the line and say, God, my darkness I give to you. My brokenness I give to you. I need you. And you know what God says? At that moment, you got me. I'm yours. Transfers us out of that darkness into his wonderful, glorious light. That now Christ takes on the punishment, all of our punishments, so that each one of us can stand blameless before our God. It's good news. But here's the thing as we end our time with this good news here. And this is the most important piece. The good news, really, it's just Jesus himself. For years, I kind of thought good news was going to heaven. Good news is having joy. Good news is peace. Good news is having knowledge and wisdom and spiritual things. And I thought that that's really kind of what I needed. And I needed God to give me those things. Until I realized that none of those things actually ever gave me the things that I thought they would give me them in and of themselves. Until my knucklehead brain finally figured it out. You know what? The good news is Jesus. The good news is I just do life with him. The good news is doing life with him is the greatest joy. He fills me with his love. He gives me the wisdom that I need. He reminds me of the eternal life that I have. He gives me wisdom. But ultimately, the joy is just him. That's how we were made. You and I were made to find the greatest satisfaction in just being with someone. Just being in a safe, wonderful relationship with someone. And the greatest news is we have that someone. It's Jesus Christ. In this world where we're fearful of rejection and fearful of hurt, and we've experienced that, the good news is we have somebody who is an anchor, who's always with us, never leaves us, desires for us to do life with him. And when we understand that he is our good news and we just do life with him, it's a game changer. And that's what Paul says. Paul says this in chapter 2. He says, I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them. There's one thing if I think Paul would say to us right here and say, God, what do you want for us? This is it right here. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. Doesn't sound like bad news, does it? Sounds amazing. And then he says this, and also I want them to have complete confidence. Complete and utter confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan. What is God's mysterious plan? It's Christ himself. Why? Because in him, in Jesus, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. What are those treasures? You're loved. You're forgiven. Eternal life. You have somebody to do eternity with forever and ever and ever and ever. He's our good news. And that's my hope for you. My hope for you more than anything, when we talk about evangelism, is more than anything else is for you to sit in that good news every single day. Jesus, you're my good news. You love me. Care for me. You change me. I have confident hope, inspired to love as you have loved me, and you have, you know, changed my life, and I trust you. It's good stuff, good news. I want you this week to talk about one of the things in your family or in your small groups or with someone, to have a conversation around, what really is it about the good and the good news that has changed your life? Explain that. Talk about that. What is it that God has done by which when you really sit down and think about it and you go, that's pretty awesome. It's pretty, pretty cool. It's pretty amazing. And the other thing that I want you to wrestle with, and this is going to be a process, and again, we have a long, you know, we're going to be working on this for a while, so we're going to have a while here. I know that these are things that you can't just change in a 30-minute message or so, but this is what I want you to process as you kind of think about these things, this question right here. So how do you, this is me included, how do you reconcile your fear of telling others this good news with how you feel about this good news? Because that's my own personal journey, honestly, to feeling a sense of freedom and joy of telling other people about this amazing thing of how God has changed my life. It wasn't really with clipboards and things of that nature. That kind of freaked me out. But when God began to help me to remind me how beautiful this good news is and how it's changed my life and how wonderful and great it is. It's not bad. It's not ugly. It's glorious. It's eternal. Through that, God began to help me to kind of wrestle with that, wrestle away my fear, to be able to look at other people and just go, you know what? I bet this good news of encouragement, of my love for them, God's love for them, peace, hope for eternity, I bet that's something that they would probably really need and want and desire, just as I needed and desired as well. And so this week, as you're kind of having these conversations, wrestle with that a little bit. What is the tension between what I know about this amazing news and my fear about giving that away to another person? So as you do that, hopefully, I forgot to grab one this service, but hopefully you picked up a little communion packet in the back. During this song, you can go back and grab one. We're going to take communion. And one of the beautiful things about taking communion is Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, that sometimes we get distracted. And so when we take communion, it's to remember the good news. And what is the good news? It's Jesus Christ. Remember me in remembrance of me. That in that packet, you see the juice that symbolizes Christ's blood, but it also symbolizes God's love for you through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for you. He loves you. And the body is represented in the wafer. And that represents that God is, you know, God in Christ, that Jesus Christ gave his all for you because he loves you that much. He doesn't want you to forget that. He loves you that much. And so as you take that, we're going to sing this song and just remind ourselves of how good God is and how much he just really deserves all of our praise. Let's pray. Father, it is so easy in our lives just to get distracted by the things of this world, and especially the ugly and hard things. And God, there are times in our lives that we take these ugly things and we think that they are your things, and we get confused about all sorts of stuff. And so, Father, I pray for everybody in this room, as we take communion, that we would remember that you are good, that you have our best interests in mind. So I ask, God, that through this journey, that you would give us clarity, that you would give us wisdom, complete knowledge of your will around this whole idea of sharing with others this great news that we have received ourselves from somebody else. And as we kind of process and go on this journey, God, that you would remind us that you are always good. You've always desired the best for us, not just for us, but for our crazy family members, our crazy neighbors, that coworker at work, the people around the world, that you desire for all human beings to experience this good, beautiful news. And I pray that through your Spirit that you would remind us that everybody around this world needs this good news. Not just to go to a local church, not to quote unquote become a Christian, but because they need you. They were made to need you. And your son, Jesus Christ, gives all humanity the pathway back into a beautiful, wonderful relationship with you. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.